Please rise for the gathering hymn, Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling. Congregation may be seated. Good morning. And welcome to worship this morning. It's always good to see all of y'all here. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the bulletin to see what is going on. One thing I do want to highlight is right now we are in the middle of Lent, so we do have our Wednesday services, and we have two each week. One is at 10 o'clock. And that is in the fellowship hall. And then we also have one in the evening, and that is 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And the evening services will also be live streamed. So simply just go to our website, stpaulykt.org, and there is a link to the live stream. Okay, are there other announcements this morning? Anybody else have announcements? Okay, Nick.
Good morning, St. Paul. Thank you for being here with us. I have two quick announcements. Number one, before I got sick, I was recruiting parents to take a second group of students to Camp Chrysalis this summer. But because I got sick, I missed all the group registration deadlines, so we can't do that. So here's what we're going to do instead. After the worship service is concluded, if you go to our Facebook page, you will see a link to Cross Trails Ministry. From there, you click on that website, go to that website, and then go to Camp Chrysalis. And then starting tomorrow, you can sign your child up individually so you can pick the week that they want to go in their summer. My suggestion is that you and your child get together with another family, go as camp buddies, and then when you register your child, the camp will ask for a $100 deposit fee. Pay that. Come to the church. Pay the remaining $150 of your $250, and then let me know the name of the student, the name of your child, and his camp buddy, and St. Paul will cover the rest. Just for your information, and just so I can sell you more on camp and the amazing deal you're getting, it's $575 to register your child up without us. So that's $575 for one child per session. If you go with us and through us, it's just $250. The second announcement I want to make is Tuesday, 7 o'clock, there's a five-minute video going up on our Facebook page. It is about ethics and Christian ethics. This is the subject that I'm talking to about our high school kids on Sundays and on Wednesdays. This video is all about just because I have the ability to do something doesn't mean I should. When your children, when your high school youth, when they turn 18, legally they have the ability to get a tattoo, get a piercing, get married, adopt a child, go down to the bank and take out a huge loan, and stuff like that. Now, just because they legally can do those things, does that mean they should? Well, in the video, I'm going to discuss that, and hopefully you parents have an end of discussion topic with your child, and you can take the video elsewhere. So that's it for me. Also, this past Wednesday, I got engaged to my girlfriend. So thank you so much for everything.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Any other announcements? Anybody else have announcements? Not then, I invite you to rise once again for the dialogue and confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Amen.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not kill.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his cattle, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me. A poor, sinful being, forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Eternal God, it is your glory always to have mercy. Bring back all who have erred and strayed from your ways. Lead them again to embrace in faith the truth of your word and to hold it fast. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Seek Ye First. You may be seated.
First lesson is a reading from Genesis chapter 17. I begin reading at verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout the generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read Psalm 22 responsively. Praise the Lord, you that fear him. Stand in awe of him, O offspring of Israel. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall bow before him.
The kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations.
To him alone all who sleep in the earth bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him.
My soul
They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done. The second lesson is a reading from Romans chapter 4. I begin at verse 13. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
May be seated, and I believe Nick has a children's sermon for us today. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He spoke the truth. He told the plain truth, the real truth, the truth that could not be denied. However, the disciples wanted to deny it. In one sentence, Jesus tells the truth of why he came. He said, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priest, and the scribes, and be killed. After 3 days, will rise again." Martin Luther once said that John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die, to suffer for us." He said that verse 3:16 was the gospel in a nutshell. That everything that we need to know about Christ is in that verse of what God intended for us and why Jesus came to this earth. Here is just a different way of saying it, and it in today's gospel lesson, it says how he's going to do it, how he is going to suffer and die and be rejected, and on the third day be raised again from the dead. And there's, just think about the power in all of this. Here is God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And this creator of heaven and earth comes down to this earth, but not as a God. He comes down as one of his own creatures. He comes down as a human. He comes as one of us. And Jesus Christ experiences the same thing that we did. He gets hungry. He got thirsty. He would get tired. He'd get sleepy. He would face ridicule sometimes. Or he would know the love of other people as well. He knew what pain was. He knew what suffering was. He knew what rejection was. And ultimately then, he also knew what death was. He was one of us. He became one of us. This God Almighty became one of us. Think about it. God loved us so much that he came into this world to fix it and to fix us. He cares about us. He loves us that much that he's willing to undergo all of these things. And so Jesus here in our gospel lesson is spelling that out to his disciples and to his followers, that he must undergo rejection, suffering, death, and then on the third day, rise again. For the disciples, even though this was the pure truth, did not want to believe it. I think the disciples truly believed this was the Son of Man or the Son of God, the Savior of the world that had been promised for centuries, that was spoken of by the prophets, that was recorded in the scriptures, that the Hebrew people had longed for hundreds of years. I believe the disciples thought this truly was him, that Jesus truly is that Savior that came to this earth, that promised Savior that had come. They had invested their lives in Jesus. They had given up their homes, their families, their occupations. They have given up all of their time. They had followed Jesus from place to place. Sometimes they didn't have food. Sometimes they didn't have shelter. Sometimes they didn't have a good reception, but they still continued to follow Jesus. They believed Jesus was the Savior. And so when Jesus starts to tell them, this is how I am going to fulfill my responsibilities. This is how I am obedient to the Father, that I will be rejected, that I will suffer many things, that I will die on a cross, and on the third day, be raised again. They didn't want to hear anything of this. Jesus, no, we're not going to let that happen. You don't need to go through all that. We can keep you safe. You don't have to do that. Because the disciples were thinking, not only for the sake of Jesus, to keep him safe, they were thinking of themselves too, I think. That if Jesus goes away, what's going to happen to us? We've just invested all this time and effort and money and everything else into following Jesus, and all of a sudden we don't have that leader. What's going to happen to us if he gets killed, if he gets arrested? What's going to happen to us? No, Jesus, this can't be true. Even though Jesus was speaking the very truth to them. It's quite interesting what Jesus says to Peter when Peter says, no, we're not going to let you do this. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And there's a reason that Jesus calls Peter Satan. If you remember the story of when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, Mark says that the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted by the devil. By Satan. One of those temptations was to take Jesus onto the highest peak. And then Satan says, look before you and you can see all the nations of the world. Satan says, I will give you all of this if you simply bow down and worship me. It's that easy. It's that simple. You don't have to go through all the suffering, through all the pain, through all the rejection. Just simply look. See, it's just that simple. I'll give it all to you. Just simply bow down and worship to me. Jesus didn't fall to that temptation, and this is the very same temptation that Peter is giving him right here. Jesus, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to have all that suffering, that pain. Look at the crowds that are following you already. They're ready to follow you. They're ready to rise up. You don't have to suffer and die. We're ready to fight with you till the end. There's a different way, Jesus. You don't have to do it. There's a better way. There's a more simple way to do it. There's an easier way to do it. So Jesus calls Peter Satan because of that temptation. Like I said, Jesus became one of us. He too was tempted. He too had to face those decisions in his life. That should I do what is right? Or should I do what looks like it's going to benefit me the most? Or benefit those that I love the most? Which way should I turn? Should I be obedient to God the Father? Or should I make that choice what looks best to me? Jesus faced that decision. And he remained obedient to the Father. He remained obedient to that truth that he would suffer many things, that he would be rejected, that he would die, and on the third day he would rise again from the dead. The disciples didn't understand this when Jesus was talking about it. You know, they heard that Jesus was going to suffer many things and die. They didn't want Jesus to go away. They didn't know what they would do without Jesus. And as far as being raised from the dead, well, that just kind of went over their heads. They didn't understand. And even as these events played out then, as Jesus, on that night of his betrayal, one of the disciples did betray him, turned him in. Here the disciples are saying, we'll fight for you, we'll follow you, we'll do whatever it takes. And here one betrays him. Peter himself then denies that he even knows who Jesus was, and the rest of the disciples just scatter. They still did not understand that truth. That truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. They didn't understand that truth. They did not understand it until after Jesus did rise from the dead and they received the Holy Spirit. Because at that point, they truly did know that this was the Son of God and that, yes, this was God's plan of salvation. And yes, this truly was the truth that Jesus Christ died for them. And that God cares for them so much, and that God loves them so much that they are willing to go out, no matter what it takes, to spread that good news of Jesus Christ. It ends up that many of the disciples themselves did exactly what Jesus said. Take up your cross and follow me. Because many of the disciples were eventually martyred for their faith. There's a lot of reactions to this truth of Jesus Christ. This truth that God really does care for this world so much that he sent his only Son here to suffer, to die, to be rejected, and to rise again. There's different ways of receiving that very truth. Some people say it's not true. It's a myth. It's a fairy tale. It's just something that ancient people believed. Or they may say, yeah, there's a God. Or there's many gods, or there's different expressions of gods. This may be one of the expressions of God, is another reaction to this truth. And then there's those that do believe this, but I believe it, but they don't incorporate it. They don't actually take up their cross and follow Christ. And then there are those who actually take up their cross, who are willing to lose their life. And because they are willing to lose their life, they save it. Throughout the history of Christianity, there have been martyrs. Every century, there have been martyrs for their faith. Even today, people continue to literally take up their cross and follow Christ. They are killed for their faith. Jesus calls us as well, too, to take up our cross and follow him. We, hopefully, most Christians do not have to die for their faith. But a lot of times we are tested in our faith. We may face ridicule. We may face laughter. We may face the rejection simply for being a Christian. We certainly face the pressure. Nah, you don't have to worry about doing all those things. We feel that pressure from other people. You don't have to be so good. We have those decisions. We face the temptations as Jesus faced temptations. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, wherever that leads, however that leads us. Many people do. Many people do. We remember that God the Father loved us so much, he sent his very Son into this world, and Jesus Christ brings us the truth. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. Your gift of grace is for all people. Give confident faith to all the baptized, that they may follow you wholeheartedly. Give new believers joy in your promises. Give hope and courage to those who suffer for their faith. Lord, in your mercy, teach the people of this congregation to follow Jesus in humble service and cross-bearing. Let our worship, words, and lives glorify you and build up the body of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you made Abraham and Sarah the ancestors of multitude of nations. Bless grandparents, parents, and foster parents, and the children who look to them for care and guidance. Console those who deal with infertility or miscarriage, parents who have entrusted their children to adoption, and children longing to be adopted. Equip ministries and services for families. Lord, in your mercy. In Jesus, you joined humanity in suffering and death. Reveal to all the depth of your love shown on the cross. Accompany all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Restore all who are sick or grieving. Lord, in your mercy. We await the day of Christ's coming in glory. Lead us by the example of all the saints whom you have called to take up their cross and follow you, that together we may find our lives in you. Lord, in your mercy. We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service, and dedicate our lives to care and protection of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father please rise for the May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give to you a contrite heart. Amen. May Christ, who bore the sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. Amen. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. Amen. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, Beautiful Savior.
Oh,
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.